So we're here now to discuss Ford Motor Company's recent workforce adjustments at the Rouge Electric Vehicle Center in Dearborn. Ford's decision to significantly reduce its hourly workforce, affecting production targets for the Ford F-150 Lightning, has raised questions about its strategic direction and impact on Michigan's automotive landscape. Let's bring in Detroit Free Press automotive reporter Phoebe Wall Howard to talk more about this. Good morning, Phoebe.
Good morning.
How do the workforce adjustments tie into Ford's revised production targets for its all-electric pickups?
Well, how you open the segment is so interesting, because my take would actually be the opposite, in that some critics would absolutely say if Ford is adjusting the workforce mm-hmm. in Dearborn for the Lightning, perhaps that's a negative, right? They're going mm-hmm. from 2,100 to 700. Mm-hmm. But based on the data that I review, the whole point for the chief financial officer at Ford, John Lawler, mm-hmm. is they have to be nimble. And the only way Ford is staying ahead, staying on top with sales and everything else it's doing in terms of profits and dividends and everything, mm-hmm. is to constantly change in real time. So they're not doing things a year from now, 2 years from now. They're assessing every single day. And because Ford is seeing there's so much more demand for hybrid right now, they're dialing it back on the electric vehicle production. It doesn't mean there's no demand for EVs. It just means the demand has slowed down. But what Ford is positioned beautifully and uniquely that competitors cannot is providing all the propulsion systems, right? Gas, hybrid, EV. Competitors are kind of stuck right now, gas or EV. And, you know, General Motors said it was making a big shift. They were going to be all electric. Now they're dialing it back. Now they're looking at developing hybrids. So Ford is already there saying, ratchet up a year ago. We're going to add, you know, have 2,100 total. Now they see we've met some of the demand and it's gone back. So the idea that a global company can increase and decrease on a dime is pretty astounding.
You know, I think that's a great take, and it's certainly not like the old days when they would just keep shoveling these vehicles and product out the door and then throwing incredible incentives on them to try to move them.
Exactly. Well, and the other thing is, what sort of surprised me is they're not doing any job loss. So while the electric truck will continue having 700 workers, they'll send 700 to build the Bronco and the Ranger in Wayne, Michigan at Michigan Assembly Plant. And then the other 700, they're either going to take those $50,000 buyouts for retirement, or they're going to assign them to other plants in Southeast Michigan. So I was surprised when you see a dramatic reduction in staffing at a plant, you know, 66%, and you realize that doesn't include any job cuts.
Right.
That's amazing.
Phoebe, what is the reaction of the UAW to this news?
The UAW is very, very involved in these talks and discussions behind the scenes, not just the international, but other plants around the country. Of course, particularly Kentucky Truck, which is the most profitable plant with the Super Duty. So that leadership is very, very involved in the talks. The UAW is monitoring the move to electric vehicles. There doesn't seem to be any criticism on any of this, understanding that if the company does well, then the workers are, you know, they're involved in the profit sharing. So all Detroit 3, if the companies do well, the workers are going to benefit in a big way. So there is no criticism at this time for these changes. Again, I'm watching for sales next week, the sales results for Ford Motor Company and its competitors. But we're looking for, again, the consistent record months of hybrid sales.
Right.
One thing, a new phrase I just heard, and I love this, and it's the money people using this. You have early adopters and early majority. So the early adopters have purchased their electric vehicles. They're willing to handle some of the headaches. They want to be out front. But the early majority, they don't want headaches. They don't want to stop halfway on their trip. They want a better battery. So those are the people that everyone's targeting now. And some of our consumers have said to me, you know, we're all being forced to drive EVs. This is terrible. It's a conspiracy. It's communism. And I like to remind people that not just California, but a whole bunch of states were mandating electric vehicles in the shift well before Joe Biden or Donald Trump. And unless you're going to forfeit that huge market share, you have to engage in that. You know, there's no automaker that wants to forfeit California. That's an enormous profit center.
No, Phoebe, they don't. But by the same token, did California push this industry under what is essentially now a trap door? Whereas, okay, you've taken the early adopters and you've satisfied them and maybe California in a few states. But now the trap door is opening and it's resulting in these production cuts or dramatic strategic shifts. Now, as you said, Ford is uniquely positioned to maybe weather this better than the others. But what about the others? What does this say about their inventories and whether or not this is that they kind of got trapped? They were told by the federal government in California, hey, if you build them, we will make them come to you with incentives. But they're not coming at the same rate.
An excellent, excellent point and an important point. And I think that's why you have this bipartisan effort. You know, Elon Musk is key to this, and that is the infrastructure. And we say it again and again, but the fact that all these other automakers will now be using Tesla charging sites, this is significant and profound. That is the key. So the people seeing that they have choices in infrastructure, imagine having a gasoline vehicle and you have no gas stations for miles and miles and miles. And you've done that in certain parts of the country. It's terrifying. I've done that.
Yeah.
So I think that's the issue. We're moving in this direction. I know when I lived in California, you know, we did children's birthday parties, and the gifts that were given away to the little guests at little kids' parties, you know, 6 years old, 7 years old, 10 years old, they gave away inhalers because all the children had asthma. When you'd go to soccer games,
wow.
You would take breaks because the children had to use their inhalers. Yeah. When we went to church on Sundays, every single Sunday, we had children who had to leave the church service because they had to use their inhalers and actually more significant devices. So those are areas of California that are seeing air quality impact. So this is not a philosophical thing. It's actually a medical issue and a cost issue. That's what was driving this in California, is the impact on the children. I mean, the asthma, it was unbelievable to witness. And when I tell people in Michigan, they really question, if I hadn't been there physically to see it, but little kids just wearing, like you would wear a little candy necklace, they wear their inhalers around their neck.
Wow.
Phoebe Wall Howard, automotive reporter for the Detroit Free Press. We appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Coming up, top news stories of the day, and Chief James White.